If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Exodus, the 14th chapter. In verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Don't look over your shoulder, they're marching after you today too. And of course, when they saw that, they were sore or very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the most awesome expressions which is said in so many ways through Holy Writ. People calling upon God. People crying out to God. It's amazing how in a day's, when you're going, you're traveling or whatever, how many people say, oh my God, who have no thought of God. I wish they'd just say, oh Buddha, or something of that nature. But it's amazing how many people, and it's said in like a parrot sometimes. Oh my God! You just want to slap them, but you know you'd get in trouble for doing that. I mean, you know, sensible people. I won't even try to duplicate that. But anyway, and they said unto Moses, but let's go back to that latter part of that verse, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That's the secret to every need in your life and in my life, to cry out to God, to call upon the name of the Lord, to acknowledge God. You know, we wait until the big decisions and then we get real fired up. No, we need to call out and cry to the Lord for little decisions, because little decisions make big decisions. Amen. So the word of God said, then they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dwelt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt? And that's the word they did tell him when Moses first came back. You know, they were saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. Well, that wasn't what they were praying. Isn't it strange how what we say and what we pray sometimes aren't the same thing? I mean, they were crying out because they were working 16-hour work days. I mean, there was no home life. I mean, life was not good for the Jews in Israel. And they said, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. But that wasn't what they had been praying. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Well, six one, half a dozen of the other. You had no life in Egypt, so you die in the wilderness. Let's go to verse 13. And Moses said, would you just repeat that after me? And Moses said, all right, he said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God wants today to be a forever beginning in your life. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Now, Moses is prophesying here. Under the inspiration of God, Moses is prophesying, and how awesome are these words? Moses is guaranteeing success if we just do it God's way. I mean, there's no loopholes here. And then in verse 15, how can you read the Bible for years and you keep seeing things that you haven't necessarily seen before? And the Lord said, see, first of all, Moses said, and then the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I hate to say it, but there's a time when God says, stop praying. Stop whining. Not permanent. You understand what I'm saying? Moses, hush. Children of Israel, be quiet. Why do you cry to me? And then he said, speak, preach, prophesy, lay it on the line. speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And that's God's word. I'll just give you the punchline in the beginning of the message today. God's word is not that we retreat, not that we go to the left or the right, not that we become weary and well-doing, but that we go forward. You know, in the ministry, I face things that just, if you'd let it, it would just eat you up alive. I know that sounds extreme and far out, but you know, when you work with human nature over a period of years, you get yourself involved, or a number of situations involve it themselves with you. I was talking this week to a couple of ministers, things that happened that were hard to deal with. I mean, hard emotionally to deal with. You know, what people don't realize is preachers hurt too. We cry too. You know, we have feelings too. And sometimes people think that we're insensitive to that. Dear God, no. We hurt. We bleed. We cry. We laugh. And praise God, I'm all for laughing. It wasn't hard for me to get into Brother Rodney's meeting in 93 because I'd pastored for a given period of time. And I tell you, joy is better than sadness. Happy people pastor a lot better than grouches. All right. And the Lord said, don't talk to him anymore about this. You speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now I want you to look at this. There are many parallels of that day and today. No, we're not slaves in the wilderness or slaves in Egypt. But they were in a foreign land. Egypt was not their home. This world is not my home. Remember the old song we used to sing? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This is not our permanent home. This is the dressing room for eternity. The burdens were oftentimes heavy and increasingly heavy. Their time was not their own. And then a king arose, as it was in the days of Joseph, that, you know, knew not. In the days of Moses. Now, a king arose that didn't know God. The nation that Pastor Bob Nichols has grown up in, sometimes I don't know my nation completely. The school systems are not the school systems that I went through. Right here in the city in which I was born. Because my principles always read a scripture from the Word of God and then had prayer over the intercom. That was true in George Clark Elementary. It was true when we were in Daggett a number of years ago. Mr. Fincher, good Methodist layman, every morning his thing was Proverbs. He would always read a proverb and then have a prayer. And I thank God for that. Times have changed. It breaks my heart to say we're, in one sense, the word, not a Christian nation anymore. Houston had one mosque. Now they have 90. The only thing that you say, well, what about that? Because they're not preaching Jesus. They're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know how, but I am seeking God. We've got to attack this thing of reaping the harvest stronger, some way, somehow, stronger than we've ever approached it before. I don't know how. If I knew how, I'd start this morning. We've done everything that we know at our disposal. We've tried. We have got to hit the deck and reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ as never before. I'm stirred about this issue. It's not just the nice little people with the nice little steeple and the nice little padre. And so, no, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. That's why we're in other nations. Well, hard times. And, you know, here's a direct parallel. You know, babies were being killed at birth, not in the womb. The only difference is today we just get them in the womb. Most dangerous place in the world is in a mother's or a woman's womb. And so they were ordering that all the babies be taken out. And you remember the story of Moses, mother, who took care of Moses. And what a miracle it was how that God provided for a mother who had faith in God. Racism was raging between the Egyptians and the Israelites. You talk about racism. Huh. There was no love lost between the races. That's another thing that I'm crying out to God for during these days, folks. We're going to have to walk in love with one another. My God, we're going to have to walk in love with one another. We've got to pray for one another. We need one another. Let's don't let what the healing that has come, at least I've sure seen a lot of healing that has come through the years. Let's don't let things tear things up now. But racism was raging between the Egyptians and the Israelites. I mean, no love lost. So they prayed and they cried out to God. And you know, when people pray and cry out to God, God hears and answers prayer. And their prayer was, God, we need a deliverer. We need out of this bondage. And on the backside of a desert, oh, how God, he seems so slow, but how God moves. When he moves, does he move? I'm going to tell you, the next 24 hours can change your life. I just spoke a word from God. The next 24 hours can change your life. Keep your faith on the line. They prayed, they cried out to God. God delivers from bondage. And so on the backside of a desert, a shepherd looks over and there's a bush that is on fire. And the thing about the bush is that it doesn't burn up. It just keeps on burning. Church, if there was ever a time, we need to keep the fire burning. Don't be a flame out. Don't just... God help us. Let your bush burn as never before. So God speaks through the bush. Moses hears that. Does what he said he'd never do again. He goes back to Egypt. Spent 40 years thinking he was everything. 40 years finding out he's nothing. Now the next 40 years finding out that God is everything. And now, reluctantly, they've left Egypt. They're gone. But the reality of life is set in. Someone sent us a coffee cup through the mail. I don't know if some veterans, you know, help support the veterans or whatever. But there's a coffee cup that has a message. It said, freedom is not free. This auditorium sits real easy today, but it's not free. 44 years has been a marvelous ongoing of miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles, but it's not free. It's been a price tag. It's been a price tag for me and it's been a price tag for you. It costs more. It costs more to fly a jet than it does to fly a Cessna. I'm talking about the prop planes. It costs more. And so they're out in the desert and they find out that freedom is not free because now Pharaoh's changed his mind. He voted yes before he voted no. And he voted no before he voted yes. Freedom is not free. There's a price tag to pay for liberty and freedom and religious freedom. Now, some of you don't understand what... I don't have time to explain it. The church is under, not this church, but all churches are under persecution. Look at your news media. There is zero respect for churches... For preachers, unless it's some newsworthy story, and then if it's a news grabber, attention grabber, they'll do it. The church is under persecution, whether we realize what we have taken for granted, the liberties that we've taken for granted, we're under fire. But you know, our fire burns brighter when we get under persecution. I don't like it, but that's the truth. Pharaoh and his armed elite soldiers and chariots, they're coming after Israel. Now remember, Israel, they've been day laborers. I mean, they're not skilled in war. They don't have swords and shields and guns and bullets and air force and whatever. So here we go. Pharaoh's closing in behind them. He says, why in the world do we let them go? Here Pharaoh's coming in behind, and then they look in front of them and there's the sea. So there's death behind them if they resist the return to Egypt, and there's death before them because you say, well, there wasn't much water there. Well, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, if you just read your Bible, there was enough water there to drown the whole army of Egypt. My brother was in TCU. Paul was in TCU and in some class. I don't know if it's comparative religions or so on. He said, now, he said, you know, it's very explainable. A lot of people don't understand how that, you know, that the story could not be true of the children of Israel because the water was hardly ankle deep in that river. And there really wasn't any water significantly to talk about. Well, my brother's quiet, but when he says something, he'll say something. He's kind of a watcher and a listener, an observer. And so Paul lifted his hand and he said, Professor, he said, yes, yes. He said, you know, that makes it a greater miracle. Still, that ankle deep water could take out the armies and the chariots and the soldiers of Egypt. He said, that's really a miracle, isn't it, Professor? And he changed the subject, went on to something else. I'll tell you, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. All right, they've left Egypt. The reality of life is set in. Freedom is not free. There's a price to pay for liberty and freedom. I remember something that Dr. W.A. Criswell, I heard him say it before we started our church, right about that time. And he said, I promise God that if it took my life, all of it, the rest of it, to build a great church in Dallas, Texas, I would do that. And so I think it was, I mean, for him, I mean, there's no virtue of how many years, but I mean, I heard that man make that statement and it profoundly touched my heart. The problem is we're just trying this and we try that. And the first thing I tell someone, says we're going to do something, I said, are you really going to do it? Have you heard from God? Are you willing to stake your life on that? Are you just into it until it costs you some money? Are you, you know, that was the way with Christian education. All kind of schools started when we started, and here we're still going. Because we didn't start to be famous, and we didn't start to make a fortune, though that would be very, very nice. I hope some of you come into your own very quickly, and remember to be a part of helping support something that has so marvelously blessed others. But what I'm saying is, I heard Dr. Criswell make a statement, and he had a way of saying something. Something just flipped in my heart, and I said, oh God, that's the kind of commitment that it takes. You know, as believers, we dabble in this, we dabble in that. But oh, it's important to make a life. Everything's not life, but it's important to make a commitment. God honors commitments. All right, Pharaoh's closing in. The sea's before them. They're possessed with fear, or they let themselves become possessed with fear. And they said unto Moses. I wrote this down on the platform a while ago. Don't fight God's provision for you. Don't be ungrateful mid-journey. It's Egypt to the Red Sea. And on the way to the promised land, they were ready to turn back from freedom to Egyptian slavery. That's something, isn't it? Don't fight God's provision for you. Sometimes I'm a little uncomfortable at the provisions that God makes. But I'm just having to learn to thank God for His provision. It's not always our choice, but God's provision is so wonderful. So Pharaoh and his elite soldiers and chariots are closing in. They're pursuing. The sea's before them. They're possessed with fear. And they said unto Moses, you've misled us. Why didn't you leave us alone? We will die in the wilderness. They really increased in their spirituality because later on in their wilderness experience, they started complaining again. And this time they just said, if we just had some onions and garlics. They've really come a long way here. They've come from fear of death to just give us some more onions and garlics. And the Lord said unto Moses, and I said it a moment ago, Moses, let's don't talk about this anymore. Stop praying. Stop praying fear, doom, and gloom. Stop praying fear, doom, and gloom. Moses, stop praying disaster and start speaking deliverance. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It's time to go forward. Speak to my people. Go forward. Don't retreat. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. What should have been, could have been, ought to have been. If I'd only invested in gold instead of the stock market. If, thank God that things are as good as they are. And I'm going to tell you, life is not in the abundance of things that you possess. Joe and I started out with nothing. We sold pop bottles to go over to Jay's Marine Grill in Dallas, our first anniversary. We sold milk bottles and Coke bottles. And we were broke, but we didn't know we were in poverty. Sold enough bottles to put gas in that little Ford and drive over to Dallas, and we got the seafood special. Was it $2.98 or something like that? Got the seafood special. We were living high. I think back to Dad and Mom's house. You know, my father's law practice increased, and there was a time when it was lucrative. But I mean, those were the early days. And I look back, and you know, in one way, we were poor, but we didn't know it. We didn't know it. It's amazing. If you just don't know you're poor, you're rich. Precious man from the Congo, he said, you know, people that have it hard in your nation are like rich people in the nation I came from. We don't have anything to start with. So if we lost some, you know, we started out with nothing. We didn't even think of putting in it, should have. Because, I mean, it seemed like there was always a need in the church for so many years. Then finally, we are, of course, done that for the last few years. But too many years went by. And my wife, I'll tell you one reason I love Joy. That's not the only reason. But under many, many pressures, she has never said, what's in it for us, Bob? She should have. There's times she should have. She's never said, and when it came time to give, to sell, to do whatever, whatever you have to do what you have to do. She always said, God is good. God will take care of us. Well, praise God. Speak to the people. What should I say to them? Tell them to go forward. Stop talking about going back. I'm going to quit. Yeah, that's real bright. That's real bright. I'm going to quit. Quit what? Go back to what? Thank God we're a part of the greatest thing that's ever existed on planet Earth, the kingdom of God. Okay, Pastor, but how do we go forward? Okay, you've made your point. God said go forward. You're saying it's time to go forward. How do I live by faith in a troubled world? Well, it's already been spelled out. I mean, it's already there. Really, I skipped over 13 and 14, and I've emphasized the 15th verse, that they go forward. How do you live by faith in a troubled world? Would you like to know that? Refuse fear. Might you say that almost every Sunday? Well, I hear it almost every week. I know what people feel and they're up against. Fear you not. Fear is a spirit. Faith is a spirit. Fear you not. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and what? A sound mind. Number one, refuse fear. Recognize. You know the effects of fear on you. Your mind races, your emotion races, your blood pressure comes up. Thoughts flood your mind. Just say no to fear and yes to God's word. Could take you to a little upstairs garage apartment on Sylvania. We lived in several different places in this area in those early days. I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was like every demon in hell sat on my head. I was in Bible school and really didn't have any invitations going at that time, and Satan said, your ministry will never go anywhere. You go into school for what? What about your wife there? What's your future? Your father said he'd help you go to law school if that's what you wanted to do. But you're in the ministry. I mean, it was just the most hopeless feeling. You know what I did? I got up. You've heard my story. I think we had 6 Bibles, 2 New Testaments, and 4 Bibles. Joy had 2, and I had 2, and then we had a couple of new. And I turned every one of them to a promise of God and slid it under my side of the bed. And I just began to speak the word and speak the word. And I got back in bed, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I believe God. And I was able to go to sleep. Able to go to sleep. Fear not. Stand still. Boy, this generation doesn't like to stand still. Stand still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. We've got to turn something on or do something. We've got to do something. I mean, silence. Whatever happened to buy your groceries in silence? Why do I have to listen to canned music just to do whatever? Listen to music, I want to listen to my own music. Stand still. Stand still. Be still. Be still. Be quiet. Get your spirit quiet before God. Fear not. Stand still. Be quiet. Thirdly, see the salvation of the Lord. See, if you stay still long enough, you'll begin to see the salvation of the Lord. As long as you're bopping around, you ain't seeing nothing. You're just a moving target. Stand still until you see the salvation of the Lord. Remember the prophet that said, God, open the young man's eyes. Let him see what I see. All the young man could see was the enemy's army. But when he began to see like the prophet could see, he realized that more are with us than with them. And you see, here's what it comes down to. If you can see it, it starts today for you. How many times have you heard, I heard in my life, well, I just don't see. I just don't see that. Well, it's very evident you don't see. You're not seeing what God said. You've got to see it. I mean, you know, visualizing, and I mean, you got to have faith. I'm not off into some weird trip. But I mean, do you think a baseball player, every time he goes up to bat, he envisions himself striking out? He sees the big one going over the wall. Man, those guys that play sports or do whatever they do. I listened to some astronauts. I guess it was on the radio. I don't remember. You know, you hear so many things. But they were talking about going into outer space. Now, I don't have many things that would bug me, but I think it would bug me to seal that door on that capsule. I'm not going anywhere until they let me out. Those guys can't wait to get in there. They may already be airborne again. I mean, they live it. They taste it. Those astronauts see it before they ever do it. They're in simulators. They're working. I mean, they sleep it. You know, their minds are just geared to it. To go to the moon. To go to Mars. To go to outer space. And they said, we realize that every once in a while there's a fatality, but that's just the price you pay to explore new territory. Child of God, it's time we get wild for Jesus. It's time we get wild for Jesus. It's time we become radical for Jesus. The world's radical. Hollywood's radical. Hey, dude's radical. A lot of weird radicals out there. It's time the church of the living God become radically committed to what God called us to do. If you can see it, it starts for you today. You know, what I'm saying is not so profound. It's just, I just don't want it to go over here. If you can see it, work on it a little bit there. If you can see it, you're smart. You can pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time. You can listen to me and visualize. See yourself. See better health. See God's blessings in your life. I've seen the last few days people that desperately needed transportation, God gave them some transportation. People that desperately needed some help, and God gave them help. Do you see hope or no hope? Do you see breakthrough or concrete wall? If you can see it, it starts for you today. For the Egyptians. Now, we're not picking on the Egyptians. That just happened to be who the folks were that had them in bondage. For the enemy, you see today. God said, you will see them some more. I got to meditating that this week. You know, there's some no more stuff that God wants to do in your life. There's some no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack ain't coming back. No more, no more, no more. There's some things, there's some people, there's some physical conditions, there's some financial bondages that God wants you to wave bye-bye to in the name of Jesus. Things that you face and fear can forever be defeated from this day on. How? For the Lord shall fight for you. For the Lord shall fight for you. See, you release the power of your faith, you hold on to your peace, the Lord shall fight for you. Some of you are getting a hold of this. You want to just keep on wallowing in it, you can, but there's a better way. God said there's a better way. I said there's a better way. Romans 12:3 said, for God has given to every, let me paraphrase it and just say it like, every born again believer a measure of faith. And you know, even to a sinner, he gives a sinner enough faith to get saved. God does some business on credit, doesn't he? Even to a sinner, he gives a sinner enough faith to be saved. But God has given to every man the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. Never forget the just shall live by his faith. Now that's what Habakkuk said. You'll find that in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Habakkuk 2:4, and Hebrews 10:38. But I love what Habakkuk has to say about this. The just shall live by his faith. You have faith. God's given every believer a measure of faith. And I just want, you know, Oral Roberts said something in that meeting when, and I know other ministers are have heard the same thing, but he said, never doubt your faith. Never doubt your faith. You may not have a lot of faith, but you've got faith, and you've got enough to get started. Did you know the giant redwood trees in California, you can put 10 seeds on a dime, and any one of those seeds is capable of growing one of those giant redwood trees on a dime. I'm going to tell you, God's seeds may be small, but they are so powerful. You know, God's not necessarily into big. In fact, little is much when God is in it. God can take a little bit and make a big bit out of it. Thank God. You have faith. At times we all feel weak, defeated, and we wonder. But Jesus commanded in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You see, I'm trying to wind this up. Here's what it comes down to. Israel's situation was impossible. Do you pick up on that? Pharaoh behind, sea before them, wilderness, helpless, not trained soldiers. Israel's situation was impossible. And I can tell you there's a lot of things that I face, even to this very day, that in the natural are impossible. The water On one side, sure death before them, the entire army of Pharaoh behind them. They had nothing to defend themselves with, no swords, no shields, no guns, no air force, nothing. Are you ready for this? This is so profound, you've never heard it before. All they had is all we have. All they had is all we have. I'm ministering to me while I'm ministering to you this morning. I mean, this is fresh manna from God. All they had is all we have. Faith in God's word and promise. Pitiful is the person who is self-made and thinks they can do it all in their own strength. I promise you that somewhere in your life's journey, you will come to an absolute zero where, except for a miracle of God, you can't make it. The hardest witnesses I ever make are self-made people, intellectual. They're propped up by their mind. They're propped up by their money. They're propped up by their talent. I was at the airport, I don't know, sometimes last year, and there were two delegations from overseas, and we almost had a war in that air. I've never seen it like that before. And one of them was mad at the other one because he's being waited on and one man walked up and they were having a verbal war, and finally this man said, "I have more degrees than you do." The agent just shook their head. I have more. You know, that's so preposterous, but I heard it with my own two ears. I mean, you just think, how can somebody be so out there that you're a wimp and you're afraid to fight, but you've got more degrees than they've got? Hey, I'm moving right along here. It was impossible. But when you are helpless, Paul said, when I am weak, at my weakest moment, when I trust in my God, then am I strong. At my weakest moment, when I trust in God, I'm strong. World War II was impossible. I don't expect you to understand that. I was just, you know, young myself. I didn't understand everything that was involved, but I did understand one thing. That the Germans and the Japanese wanted to take over this nation, and they'd bomb Pearl Harbor. My father had gone off to be a soldier in the army. It was a very real day when Dad walked out of the house, went down and caught College Avenue bus to go in to serve for the next 2 years. And they said, "You're the little man of the house now." Man, I felt like you just put 10 tons on my shoulder. You're the little man now. I didn't know what all that meant. I wasn't as smart as my father. How in the world am I going to do whatever? But you see, World War II was impossible. But you know, I remember in our church, it was only three and a half blocks from our house, that every morning we started prayer meetings. At about 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 to 10 or 10:30, I mean, I could still hear those women crying out to God. God, heal our land. God, save our nation. God, help our troops. I forget how many troops we lost just in Normandy alone. You talk about casualty. We don't even understand casualties today. The whole casualty of the war has been only what happened in 9/11, and every one of those souls was precious. But I'm telling you, we could be speaking German and Japanese right now. Wouldn't hurt most of us to have a second or third language, but I'm talking about more than that's involved. But God helped us to win that war. And so we went to work and we made bombs and we made airplanes, and America threw everything they had in ships and whatever. And by the grace of God and a tremendous cost of human life, we won that war. And I'm thankful we did. By God's help, we won. Folks, God has not changed. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Speak to the people, Moses. Pastor Bob Nichols, speak to the people. Yes, sir. I will. Sunday morning. I am, sir. Speak to the young people. Speak to the boys and girls. Speak to the parents. Speak to those that are in good times. Speak to those that are in difficult times. God says it's time to go forward. Not backward. Not to the left or the right. It's time to go on. So somebody doesn't like you, go forward. So someone has been tacky to you, so what? Go forward. Don't let it ruin the rest of your life. So your job didn't work out. So. Take your Bible and give the devil what for and say, as for me and my house, we go forward.